Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when you open your Bibles to the Gospels, you'll find that we've been given a few different perspectives on the first Christmas. They all fit together to give us a wonderful picture of what was happening in the coming of Christ. But the different gospel writers emphasize different aspects of what was happening. In Luke, we see things largely from the perspective of those who are most intimately involved in the first Christmas. It's there in Luke that we learn most of what we know about Mary and Joseph and about their relatives, Elizabeth and Zechariah, the parents of John the Baptist. Luke also emphasizes how God chose to bring his blessings through the weak and lowly things of this world, how he made use of a humble Jewish maiden, a common carpenter, anonymous shepherds, and of how the King of Kings had an animal's feeding trough for his first bed. It's a very personal story that Luke shares with us about God coming to his people in their lowliness, joining them in humility, and lifting them up through the gift of salvation. In Matthew, on the other hand, we see how the events of the first Christmas were already beginning to affect the world beyond Bethlehem, of how the wealthy and the powerful, both near and far, responded to the coming of the Messiah. It's there in Matthew that we hear of the Magi traveling from distant lands to come and worship the newborn king. And it's there that we hear of Herod reacting in power-hungry fear by trying to have the newborn king killed. So in Luke, we see Christmas from the close-up perspective of those individuals most intimately involved in the events. And in Matthew, we take a step back and see a broader view of how those events were already shaking up the power structures of this world. And then there is John. With John, we step even further back and take an even broader view of Christmas. Now we're looking at things not from the perspective of a few select individuals, and not from the perspective of how regions or nations were affected. Now we are looking at things from a universal cosmic perspective, seeing how the coming of Christ brought in a new era in the relationship between heaven and earth, and in the relationship between God and man. In John's account of Christmas, we don't hear about Mary and Joseph, or Bethlehem and a manger, or angels and shepherds. We don't hear about Magi or Herod. John knew that we already had Matthew and Luke to tell us all about those things. So John steps back and looks at the big picture to help make sure that we don't miss the incredible significance of what was happening in all of this. So how does John describe the first Christmas? He writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." That is what was happening in Christ's first coming, his first advent. The Word was becoming flesh and coming to dwell here among us. And what, or rather who, was this Word that John is writing about? Well, let's look a little more closely at what John says about this Word. And as we do that, one of the first things we notice is that this Word John is writing about, this Word is in fact a who, not a what. John refers to this Word as he and him. So this Word that John is telling us about is not something, it is someone. And what does John say about this one who is known as the Word? First, John says, "In the beginning was the Word." which means that in the very beginning, before this world was, the Word already was. Before there was this world, before there was time, there was the Word. And in fact, John even tells us that it was through this Word that all things were made. John writes, "All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." So who then is this Word? Well, we read in the first verse of the Bible, Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." So if God's revelation in Scripture begins with the message that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and if John now begins this new revelation from God by saying that in the beginning was the Word, and through this Word all things were made, does that mean that John is saying that this one whom he calls the Word is in fact God himself, maker of heaven and earth? Yes, John is saying that. But he's also saying something more than that. Let's hear again what John says about this Word. He writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So here John affirms that this Word he is telling us about is indeed truly God. The Word was God. Yet he also tells us that the Word was with God, which means that there is, in some sense, a distinction between the Word and God. So who then is this Word whom John is writing about? The Word is God the Son. From all eternity, he has been with God the Father. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And as the second person of the Holy Trinity, he is also true God himself. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So this Word whom John is telling us about is God the Son, the second person in the triune God of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And what John is especially telling us about this Word is that he became flesh and dwelt among us. In other words, God the Son became man and made his dwelling place here among us so that he could be Emmanuel, God with us. That raises a question, though. Why doesn't John simply say, God the Son became flesh and dwelt among us? Why does John call him the Word, saying the Word became flesh and dwelt among us? Well, by referring to the Son as the Word, John is telling us something important about the Son and about why he became flesh. What is significant about a person's words? What do we do with our words? With our words, we express ourselves. We communicate to others what is within us, our thoughts, our feelings, our hopes and plans. With our words, we reveal ourselves to others. We make ourselves known to them. For that reason, it's been said that a person's words are a window into their soul, so that if you want to know what someone thinks, what they really care about, how they feel about you, then you pay very close attention to their words. And so it is also with God, as the Word of God is a window into the heart of God. So if we want to know what God thinks about things, what God really cares about, how God feels about us, the way to learn those things is by paying close attention to God's Word. It's there in His Word that God reveals to us His thoughts, how He feels concerning all manner of things, His plans for the future, including especially His thoughts, feelings, and plans concerning us. It's in His Word that God makes Himself known to us. God's Word is God's revelation of Himself. And so, where does God most fully reveal Himself to us? In the person of Jesus Christ. And that is why Jesus is called the Word, because it is in Jesus that God reveals Himself to us. It is in the person of Jesus, the living Word, that God most fully, most directly, and most clearly reveals Himself to us, making Himself known to us, not only in the words that Jesus spoke, but in the life that Jesus lived. That's the point that John is making in the final verse of our gospel reading when he says that although none of us have seen God the Father, the only Son who is God, who is at the Father's side, He has made Him known. And John's point here is that it is in the person of Jesus, the Word made flesh, that God most fully reveals Himself to us. God had spoken to His people before. To some people, like Abraham and Moses, He'd spoken directly. To the people as a whole, He had spoken through the prophets. But when the time came for God to more fully communicate with us, spoken words or written words were no longer enough. And so His final word to us was not a letter or a vision, but a person. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. As we read in the opening words of Hebrews, in many and various ways God spoke to His people of old by the prophets, but now, in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. It's sometimes said that a picture is worth a thousand words, but in the person of Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, God says more to us than any number of written words or even pictures could ever express. So when we look and listen to this incarnate Word, this Word in the flesh, what do we find God saying to us? Look to the incarnate Word in the manger. See God choosing to become man. And in that living Word, hear our Lord saying that despite all of our sin, despite all of our sin against Him, He is not ashamed to call us His brothers and sisters. Look to the life of the incarnate Word as He walked among us on this earth. See the Lord choosing to eat with tax collectors and prostitutes. See Him reaching out to outsiders like Gentiles and Samaritans. See His willingness to be known as the friend of sinners. And in that living Word, hear our Lord saying that He has come not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. That He has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Look to the incarnate Word on the cross. See the Creator dying for those whom He had created. See the righteous dying for the unrighteous to bring us to God. And in that living Word, hear our Lord saying that there is no length He would not go to save us. Look to the empty tomb of the risen incarnate Word. See death defeated. And in that living Word, hear the Lord promising you that nothing in all creation, not even death, will be able to separate you from his love. See the incarnate word doing all of that specifically for you. And in that living word, hear the sound of God's saving love for you, ringing out louder and clearer than spoken words alone could ever fully express. That is the message that God gives us in the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And that is the message that John shares with us throughout his gospel, as again and again he points us to Christ, saying to us and to all, come, look to Jesus, the Word made flesh, and see a good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. See the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Do you see what I see? Listen to Jesus, the Word made flesh, and hear a gracious Savior freely calling all who are hungry to come and be fed with the bread of life. Hear a great Redeemer assuring you that all of your sins have been paid for in full, that it is finished. Do you hear what I hear? And when we do see and hear all of that in Jesus Christ, the living Word, how can we respond but by falling down before him in humble awe, giving thanks and praise, saying in the words of our next hymn, hail, hail, the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary. In his holy, saving name, amen.